The words of God given to us today is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. It is on the page 319 in the New Testament. I'll read the words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. On June 19th, there was the last game played for the U.S. Open. On that day, Korean player Yang Yong-un ranked third. The record was the highest ever among Korean players in the U.S. Open. On that day, however, all the attention was on Rory McIlroy, the 22-year-old man from Old Northern Ireland. He became the champion with the greatest under-par record of 268. I know little about golf and have no idea how great this record is. But I have heard that playing singles is one lifetime wishes for ordinary people who play golf. Rory won the championship by 8 to the runner-up. Considering the champion wins by one or two normally, we can understand how great he was. In addition, playing golf is told the competition with oneself. It was impressive for me that he played through the 4 days so well without losing inner balance. Reading the news article about him, what attracted me was his family story. He was not rich enough to be a golf player. He was born to a poor family in Hollywood, which is about 5 miles away from Belfast, the capital of North Ireland. His family lived in an old public housing. His father, Gary McIlroy, a veteran, worked as a bartender for a clubhouse making cocktails for guests. Thanks to his father, however, Rory was able to know how to play golf early. The golf course was about 200 yards away from his house. His father was gone to work with the baby, Rory. As 21 months old, Rory started playing a toy golf and recorded 40 yards when he became 2 years old. At age 4, he stared on TV showing a performance of putting a golf ball into a laundry machine with those chip shot. His parents even made a 2.4 meter fence, since a lot of people went to look when Rory was training on a small green in his house. For his son to get a professional lesson, his father made out a loan, but it was far short of what he was needed. He worked day and night at the sports center and locker rooms, in the days and nights, and the bars. He worked as a cleaner 100 hours a week for 10 years. His mother also worked at 3M factory putting tapes in the box at night. His father was always said to Lori, "Don't be conceited and get over yourself." Lori was never had a special education or lesson to play golf. It was everything that he learned from the coach at the course his father worked for. What Lori could not learn from the coach was the attitude, and he learned it from his father. Lori deeply understood his parents' efforts for him. His father worked 300 hours a week for three different jobs because his loan was not enough. His mother also had to work even at nights, and Lori knew all about it. Coincidentally, the day Lori won the championship was Father's Day. As long as Lori understands and remembers his parents' attitude, he will become the best player. Today's text introduces that attitude we should learn more importantly than the heart of the parents. Verse 5 testifies as follows: "Your attitude should be the same as that of the Jesus Christ." The attitude that we should learn first is that the mind of Jesus Christ. The attitude means the thoughts. This is why our thoughts should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, and our attitude that of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the verse 5 in the Bible says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of the Jesus Christ." The attitude appears outside the body, but starts from inside. We can consider famous people as a mentor or a role model. However, when we try to learn their outside attitude, not the inside, the effort could be useless. It is more so in faith that we learn the heart and attitudes of the Lord does not appear as failure instead of a great work. Apostle Paul also had nothing to be done so well on the surface. He was not successful. Moreover, he was in jail. He was a prisoner all the time from when he got to Rome. However, he was a person who truly learned the attitude of Jesus Christ. Timothy 2 is said to be the will testament of Paul, or the Paul's written confession of faith. The touching part in Timothy 2 is when Paul asks Timothy a personal request. In chapter 4, verse 9 to 13 says as so: "Do not haste to come to me quickly, for Damas, because he loved this world, he has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Croas and my scroll, especially the parchments." There were people who left Paul as his jail term was extended, and it became clear that Paul could not be executed. Paul himself sent people who took care of him to other places, knowing he left little time with his life. But he asked Timothy, his spiritual son, to come early. Since the winter was approaching, he asked Timothy to bring the cloak that he left with Carpus at Chloas, and the scrolls, the parchments as well. We don't know what the scrolls are, but it is said to be an official document such as certificate of Roman citizen, which is necessary when getting a sentence, or the Septuagint 70. Whatever the content of the scroll was, Paul might want to end his life with that scrolls. Some old clothes and scroll were the only things left to Paul. That is more impressive than leaving a huge church, since his resembles the heart of the Lord. This is why Paul is the symbol who learned the heart and attitude of Christ even after 2,000 years. Jesus Christ, whom Paul was so eager to learn, is described in verse 6 to 11. Although it is only six verses, this part perfectly explains about Jesus Christ. Therefore, this became the confession of faith at the early churches. Of course, the verses are important, but they are very difficult to understand as well. So please listen carefully. Verse 6 testifies as follows: Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped? Jesus is the very nature of God. In the verse 7, Jesus takes the very nature of servant. The nature reminds us the inside, while the fact that he takes the nature reminds the outside. However, the meaning seems different. The same word morphe was used. The morphe means a frame which contains the nature and expresses it. Although it is easy for people to think the outside is everything, in fact, the outside is expression of the inside. Let's say an actor or an actress has to play a role of a genuine doctor in a movie or a TV show. He might learn very hard about the role. He might visit doctors and have a close look at what they do all day and learn medical terms. In addition, he might want to look at the procedures in person if possible and could practice with animals like pigs. This is why the actor is not a real doctor, even though he performed just as a real doctor. If he tries to operate on a real patient, just if he is a real physician, he would put someone's life at risk, not to mention he could become a sinner. If someone wants to become a genuine doctor, one should go to and graduate medical school with the highest grades and go through diverse medical experience. If one becomes the world's best heart surgeon, he should have an outstanding experience and knowledge on this field, despite him being very young. In that case, we can say he has the morphe, taking the very nature of genius doctor, since he's a doctor inside as well as outside. Jesus neither tried to copy God nor resembles only outside of God. Jesus is the same as God inside as well as outside. This is the meaning of that Jesus is the very nature of God. Even so, Jesus did not consider it a natural thing for himself to be equal with God. The Greek word harpagmos, which has been translated to the be grasped, means a right which cannot be taken away, a right which one should naturally be entitled to. But the Lord did not enjoy that right in order to save people. Verse 7 continues to testify as follows: Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It says that God himself emptied himself to become a man. He did not grasp at taking on the human form. He actually became a man. At the time of Apostle Paul, Gnosticism was very influential. Gnostics believed that spirit was good, but material things were evil. This way of thinking entered the church and denied that Jesus has become a man. The thought was that there was no way that a good and perfect being could become an imperfect human being. At the church where I grew up, one deacon often used these words about Jesus when she prayed. From the highest throne in heaven, you came down to earth, having taken on the human form, etc., etc. This is exactly what Grosnick claimed. Jesus did not take on a form, human form. He really became a human being. Several years ago, a book called Laying Down became a bestseller among Christians. The writer, after about a year and a half, wrote a sequence, and its title was Laying Down Even More. And so do we think we lay down everything about himself 100%? Probably not. Maybe next time he will publish another book which might say, almost laid down all. This is not true only for him, but all human beings. Politicians say that they will empty their hearts and will. But no one believes that, because a human being is not capable of doing so. We are not exceptions. How many times do we commit to lay down our greed and give things up for others? But I have never seen anyone who has achieved it even once. It is impossible for a human being to empty himself or herself 100%. We cannot possibly know about the eternal Son of God becoming a finite man. No matter how much effort we make, it is something that goes beyond our imagination. In Reverend Ijechul's book, Into the Action, there is a supplementary booklet which is titled Still Waters, Flowing Love. This book is a publication of quotes Reverend Lee used in his sermons. Among them is the saying by James Irwin, the astronaut of Apollo 15. This is what it says: standing on the moon with my 2 feet, I could not help but be convinced all the more that God is living as I looked on the infinite, vast, great universe existing in the single order. About now, people will be writing headlines about men walking on the moon. But it strikes me that Jesus Christ coming down and walked on the earth 2,000 years ago was even a greater event as I stand on the moon. How small is the moon in the universe? How accurate expression is this? It takes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get to moon in the speed of light. It is said that the end of the universe cannot be reached even if we travel with the speed of light for 20 billion years. Like Irwin said, people think it is a great deal that men have gone to Earth, the moon. But compared to Christ among coming down to Earth, it is really nothing. If we think of the end of universe as from Seoul to Los Angeles, U.S., the way to the moon is probably not even a step, just a one step. How could a man understand that the Son of God, who made the universe, has become a man? I recite verse 7 again. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It says that Jesus came as a servant and became like man. But who did he came to serve? He came to as a servant to serve men and God. That Jesus became a servant of men means to look at the lives of human beings as lives of servants. Initially, men were created as honorable beings. God created man and made him rule over the world of the creatures. It was almost at the level of similar to God. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 to 9 testifies as follows. What is mankind that we are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the work of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the path of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God made man a little lower than God. This was the initial place of man. But man was not satisfied with this place and tried to become equal to man. Having tempted by the snake, man tried to grasp a sole power and not delegated power after having eaten the fruits of the tree of good and evil. And so man became the servant of sin. Thereafter, man's desire is always to move from number three to number two to number one. Faith is about whom we decide to obey, and we become the servant of what of that which we listen and obey. After the sin of Adam and Eve, discouragement, despair, sadness, and hardship came to visit men, and there came to be so many things that were beyond the will of man. But in order to put an end to such life, Jesus came to us in the body of a man as a servant to serve us. And Jesus has come to become the servant of God and to carry out His will. Isaiah chapter 53 is known as the Song of the Servant, and its verses 1 to 6 testify as follows. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And Lord has laid him the iniquity of us all. From the outward appearance of Jesus, there was nothing that we could let him to be recognized as Son of God. So we were to draw up his portrait in today's world. His height was most probably not even higher than 160 centimeters. He had looks that if we met him once in the street, we would never want to meet him again. He had nothing, so that he went from places to place, sharpening knives and fixing umbrellas. He probably stopped going to school after first or second grade. He was weak and was always plagued with illness, and so he weighed only 50 kg. So he had an appearance that people, when they saw him, could not recognize him as Son of God. On top of that, he spoke with thick Galician accent, so all of the holy portraits that make him look like some nobleman are rather wrong. It was probably really difficult, not for the priests and the Pharisees, but for the general public to accept someone who looked like that as Son of God, as Savior. I want to introduce to you again the man I mentioned during the special morning service during Lent 2 years ago in 2009. When I think of Jesus, who did not have any physical appearance to boast of, there's someone that comes to my mind. He was an educational minister, the training at the church in which I grew up. The church I grew up was not a large church where only 120 or 130 adults gathered on Sundays. As the church's finances were tight, and the church could not have any assistant pastors to assist the pastor. One education minister in training would be responsible for all elementary, middle, high school students, or be responsible for all middle and high school students and young people. And because the salaries of the church paid to the pastor staff was so small, almost all ministers in training who came at the beginning of the year left before the year was over. When I was in college, an education minister in training came to our church. I'm sorry to say this, but he looked very crude. He was a bit shorter than me. His voice didn't seem to carry any weight, and he often said things that were not logical. Actually, I'm not sure whether he had gone to high school. I remember that he had graduated from middle school, went to some Bible school, and then went to a seminary. This person came to in charge of young people. At the time, I was the church for the middle and high school student and the leader of the young people's worship. When I listened to his sermon during the middle and high school students' worship, I had to reformulate what he was saying to understand better. The students and teachers did not like him, and he was even shunned. At the time, young people met in Sunday evenings, and he would use to say things that were even more difficult to understand during these meetings. After he mentioned something about the Bible, the young people used to look at me in order to confirm whether what he said was true. If I were to explain it in the right way, he would end up losing his face. And if I didn't say anything, I ended up feeling frustrated. I experienced this every week. One day, he asked me a favor. He said he was to take English examination at the seminary and wanted to know whether I could teach him English. So I said yes. Because this was a seminary, the English material for the class was Bible. The test was to be on chapter 3 to 4 of the book of John. And the English Bible they were using was the Good News Bible. Supposedly, the easiest among the English Bible to read. But his English was so bad in the beginning, I felt frustrated, and then angry, and then later I felt sorry for him. I'm not sure if he was ordained or not. Those who had graduated seminaries in the province had to attend 2 additional years of seminary research courses in Seoul to be eligible for pastor license exam. But he kept failing the ministry exams. He was taking the exam when I was in college and was still taking the exam even after I graduated my seminary course of 3 years. However, he was very sure of his calling from God. He was willing to go to any place, farming village or a fishing village. He knew of his shortcomings, and he was willing to obey God for whatever reason because God has called on him despite of such shortcomings. I remember him at Lent. He was a person who I had crossed out thinking that you are not the man at that time. You are not smart, not talented, not of a good character, not of a good teacher of a Bible. How are you going to carry out your ministry? But that was a very immature thought of mine. I did not think that God was called on him at that time. I repented greatly from my shortcoming in thinking only of humane issues and not thinking that God can use anyone if he wanted. Our Lord was treated in such a way. Aren't you the son of the carpenter? How can you talk about God's word when you are from such a low background? He was ignored not only by those who did not know him, but also by his own relatives who came to take him because they thought he was crazy. If he had to come to us, he could have come not as a royalty like Joseph of Arimathea, but maybe someone more significant with scholarly background like Apostle Paul, or and maybe better looking and handsome looking. But the Lord came in a very miserable shape and walked the path of misery. That was the path of servant God wanted from Jesus. Because Jesus came to us in the form of a servant, he had gone through all the pain and agony we experience. He was born in a manger at another person's stable. So we understand the minds of the poor. He has fallen asleep on a sheep in a storm because he was too tired. So he understands the fatigue of life. He was son of a carpenter, so he also knows the tiring life of labor. He prayed through the nights because he had nowhere to go to when you understand the sorrow of the homeless. He cried in his prayer, so he wipes with our tears, and we shed tears unknown to our spouse and our parents. He was paralyzed on the cross, so he understands the minds of the disabled. He comforts those whose life is stuck and can only look up into the sky. This is the meaning of coming down to the status of servant. The Lord took the cross not because of our righteousness, but because of our sin. And because of the punishment we had to undergo, he came down as a servant and took the cross. Because of our shame, we want to hide. Our faith is to take after such aspects of the Lord. We cannot be satisfied with just learning about the religious format of Christianity. When we meet the Lord in person, we can no longer carry out a half-hearted or half-filled faith life. Lori McCloy's parents endured taking three jobs and working at night. Lori engraved such mindset of his parents in his heart and practiced hard. So, in 10 years since he began golf, he bought a $60 million house to his house and earned 5,600 million won as a prize in 1 year period in 2009. Doesn't the Lord care more about us than the parents of Lori? The Lord came to limited world from eternity and took the lower place to take into account the lowest place. If we truly believe in this, then what should we do for the Lord? God is telling us, have this in mind, which was also the minds of the Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, it is so hard to imagine that someone equal to the eternal God has come down to earth in human form with the limited humaneness. It's so harder to understand why Jesus had to be born in the manger of the stable, because not a room was available. It is beyond our understanding why Jesus had to forego mockery, contempt, and whipping, and had to die so miserably to save sinners and not the righteous people. However, we thank you that such discipline of surrender, which was to give life to us, not for me, it gives us great hope and courage because you had come to the lowest place in such a lower form. You know of the tears we shed in secret, the sleepless nights we spend with problems we cannot solve, the difficulties we face from the scares of misunderstandings and prejudices. Let us learn of your heart, your attitude, and your spirit so that we may at least cry with those who are heartbroken, even if we cannot wipe their tears as you did for us. We do not have the power to solve problems of those who are weak and are in helpless situation, but let us be your children who pray for God's help. Instead of trying to go higher, struggling to take more on this world, let us be humble and become children who stay within God's mighty hands. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.